And let me just, first of all, reopen the hearings from House Business Committee and Business Labor from this morning on March 18th. And we're in the middle of taking public testimony for House Bills 2497, House Bill 2503, House Bill 2881, House Bill 3052, and House Bill 3274. And I just want to tell folks, if I wasn't clear enough this morning, I apologize, because when I stayed open until 11 and skipped floor session because I wanted to give the people that came all the way down here the opportunity to testify, get on the record, and be able to go home and not stay until 5 o'clock. And just so you know, for the record, I broke my voting streak on the floor today, because last session I missed zero votes on the floor, and today was the first day I missed a vote on the floor, although it was excused due to house business. So, if I didn't get that message across to you, I apologize for keeping you here all day. It certainly was not my intention to do so. I think we have...
Mr. Chair, no one has all signed up.
Okay.
Hasn't testified from this morning.
All right. Well, then, would anyone like to testify on any of these bills? Okay. Well, I think I'm going to keep the hearing open until 5:15. Just in case somebody had it scheduled and they got off work and they could come down. It was posted for 5 p.m. And in college, if the professor is 10 minutes late, you can leave class. So we'll go with 5. We will just stand at ease until 5:15. And if anybody comes in, it would be unfair of me to ask anyone to come up here and continue on, because I had such a strict time limit this morning. So we're just going to stand at ease until 5:15, and then if no one shows up to testify, we'll adjourn.
If we want to speak, we do what? Sign up?
If you have not, did you speak this morning, ma'am?
I was not here.
Yes, if you would like to testify, come right on up right now.
Okay,
which one am I? Okay, we're out of ease, and we're going to continue
on.
Does anybody else want to testify on these bills? Now's your chance. Come on up, ma'am. If he would like to, we can just move that chair out of the way. And I kept people to a pretty strict 2-minute limit this morning. I'm going to be pretty strict on that tonight, too. So be brief, concise, and to the point. And because if I allow you to go along a lot longer, then I'm going to be unfair to the people this morning. So.
Would you like to get something first?
Go ahead.
Basically, I came all the way up here.
Sir, you need to identify yourself for the record.
My name's Gary Payton. I'm from Southern Oregon. And I came all the way up here strictly because of my disbelief in the state-operated garden.
Okay.
I support the Bill 812. I'm a grower, and most of my patients, John's one of them, do not have the finances to be able to pay for their own medicine, and I think it's outrageous that the bill that the other representative presented is just not right. The people that I grow for are very low income. They're definitely in need of the medicine. I don't know if I could speak on Measure 28 at this at all.
Well, that's not what we're here for.
Okay. It's basically I want to show my body in opposition of the state grown.
And let me just share, this is a learning process for everyone, okay?
Yeah.
Just because you're an elected official, surely, obviously, there's abundant evidence that we don't know everything. But some of the things that really came to light today were the folks that just simply can't afford it and are literally getting it provided for them.
Right.
And I cannot ever see, even though I do support some kind of state process where it's a controlled, more controlled than it is, I do not nor will I support denying someone access to this much-needed medicine because of lack of resources. We have enough of that going on. So whatever we do, I would like to make, whatever process we put in place, mm-hmm. I want to make sure that folks that need this medicine and have, established relationship with their physician, clearly a need, and this is a treatment plan, absolutely. I would support completely and would want to make sure that, that access to that would never be denied.
Yeah.
So that was not, and by the way, that's not the intention of the bill. The intention of the bill is to control the substance. And that bill, I explained this morning. We've had a change in administration in the Washington, D.C., and their attitude and their philosophy and their approach to this is different than the last administration, and they've made it, from the way I understand it, they've said that they're not interested in the Drug Enforcement Agency carrying out these kind of raids anymore, and they're interested in the states taking that over. But until they give us some kind of statutory or rule that says the states can get into the growing business, we're not going to get into the growing business or pursue anything until we have that firm legal ground to stand on. And then the reasoning behind it is to get a controlled environment, just like we have a controlled environment for any other pain reliever, to ensure, one, that it cut down on the black market, make sure the patient has what they need and they're buying what they believe they're buying, or it's being provided to them, what they believe is being provided to them,
right.
Yet still have access to whatever it is they need. And we learned a lot about the different types and contents and power of the different various medicines that come from the cannabis plant this morning too. So I just want to, but the intention of the bill is definitely not to cut off access to anyone who has a legitimate need for this medicine. So I hope that, since you drove all the way up here, I feel obligated to explain that to you.
Yeah, I'm totally okay with the state being and controlling to an aspect of it, but the actual growing of it. I have not been involved except for the last couple of years. I have stopped taking 8 different medications because of the cannabis.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to move on too, sir.
Okay.
If I give you 20 minutes, it's going to be unfair to everybody else.
Sorry.
And we're very... No, I'm not. I'm sorry, but I just have to be strict about that.
That's right.
Thank you for coming, though. I really do appreciate it. Ma'am, your name for the record, and go ahead.
My name is Cindy Johnson, and I came from Medford, drove these two gentlemen up. I didn't prepare anything, and I don't know what all was said before, but I do know that I'm fortunate in that I have an honest and dependable grower, where a lot of people don't have the access because of that, and I'm sure, I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said before, but that's something where dispensaries would help a lot in that for the people that don't have, either know someone or have the ability to do themselves.
Well, we heard your message loud and clear this morning.
I don't doubt.
It won't be forgotten anytime soon. And I do appreciate you driving clear up here from my friend's hometown. Representative,
that's a question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I never thought about that, but I'm okay. You go get this card, and where do you go from there?
From where?
I mean,
once you have the card?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't go to the local store and say, or the Grange and say, would you give me 3 or 4 marijuana plants? I want to start processing those. How does that work? Where do you get the plant?
Well, often there's organizations that help with that.
Okay.
Such as Voter Power, which is something that we're involved with, where they help people to hook up
that's good enough.
to get a grower and caregiver for them so that they do have the access and they don't have to worry about trying to get it on the street or...
Okay. I was just curious on, because...
A lot of people don't know. They don't know where to go.
I have a clue what to do.
Well, and one of the... And then we're going to get to you, sir, I promise. Our staff is going to sneak in here and do something. Okay, thank you. One of the sponsors of the bill has a patient, and she apparently didn't know where to go. A lot of these folks are terminally ill.
Oh, yeah.
And bang, it hits you, and you've never been in the market for marijuana or anything else for that matter, and you wouldn't have a clue where to turn. So I think on that side of it, I think the state control would be good. I understand. I heard loud and clear people want some flexibility. We're going to have to somehow sit down and work all this out together. Mm-hmm. because I don't, my number one concern is people aren't, I want to control the work environment, I want to protect the employee, and I don't want to deny access to anybody who needs this medicine. Those are my priorities. Sir, go ahead. I need you to identify yourself for the record.
My name is John Fisher. I live in Grants Pass. And see, I suffer from rheumatoid arthritis. So I can't do a lot of things that grow my own if I didn't have a grow. And the thing with the state taking over, you know, even though quality, I have to figure it will go down and the price will go up. And I live on a fixed income. And I make $892 a month. And I got to give the state back $217 to have a caregiver to come and help take care of me. So I would like to see it kind of stay the way it is. We're going to dispensary stores like you got down in California.
Well, I appreciate it.
I tell you, with my disease, it helped me immensely. You know, I was on a lot of different drugs for my husband. Now I'm on three.
Yeah. Well, we heard, once again,
yeah.
I heard your message many times this morning, and I do thank you for coming up here, all the way up here from God's country, to testify to this. And once again, I'm not going to support any process that denies people access to their medicine. In America, we're struggling to make sure people stay on their medicine, whatever it is, and I hope the federal government gets on board and helps us do that. So the last thing I want to do is be responsible for creating a program that all of a sudden denies somebody a medicine that's allowed them to get off of eight other medicines. So with that, any further questions of these good people who drove so far to their capital today?
3 hours, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Right in there.
Representative Espos from
Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You went the same.
And I just wanted to apologize to everybody publicly. We have a hearing going on down the way there for consumer protection, so there's still about three other members that are wrapped up in there, and I know I'm sure the good chair has covered that, but these are important issues, and we're going to be working this out. We've had some long hearings, and I'll catch up on your testimony, and thanks for coming to the Capitol, and we'll see where all this goes.
And folks, people can't be in two places at one time. I really hope everyone understands that today. So with that, I'm going to thank you once again for coming all the way up here. We're listening to you. And that, by the way, that bill isn't going to go anywhere until we get clear direction from the federal government. The other one, I believe we're going to try and move something down the road that helps employers, helps employees, and protects the program. So thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to testify today? Mitzi Murray. Is that you, Mitzi? Anybody else? All right, go ahead, Mitzi.
Thank you. I wanted to come back and come early to avoid the rush. I'm glad I came early. Thank you for coming back and giving us this time to speak. I really, really appreciate it. It's important, I think, to get these things heard, and I would like to...
Ms. Murray, you need to identify yourself for the...
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Mitzi Murray, and I'm from Salem. And I think it's really important to address a few things that I didn't hear or some things that were questioned. One of the things that was addressed this morning was the cost of setting up the garden in the home. And I went home and added up my receipts, and it was around, it was $2,283.52. And it's about $250 a month for supplies. So I just wanted to answer that question that kind of came up. I mean, that's mine. I don't know what average is.
But forgive me, that's how much you purchased to get the... your growing process up in your house.
Yes, yes. Okay. And then also, where does one turn when they get their card? There are many organizations, and the only one I'm familiar with is Oregon Green Free. And joining that organization, there's events that we have resource exchanges, and so people come and they share clones, they share medication, they share other resources, and then you do a pay it forward, and patients and growers work together. I also heard a lot about the abuse in the program, and no one denies that there's a lot of abuse in the program. Human beings, you know, are just going to abuse anything. And one of the things about OGF that I like is that it is self-policing, and I think that if we have more if we're allowed to keep the growing in the home, which I think we're going to see a really good divide between people being able to grow at home and then having something for people who can't grow and can't afford to, you know, pay for growers. So I think I really see a lot of good coming out of that. But if we continue with having organizations like OGF, and I know there's a lot of others, I apologize, I'm just familiar with the one, I believe that we can reduce the abuses and keep the education expanding forward and get the people that don't know anything about growing, you know, they've never, you know, had marijuana until just now, and they're in their 60s. So there's a lot of education, and one of the things I would like to do is to go out and advocate and educate and help people grow, be able to grow their own in their own home. So thank you for letting me share that.
No, thank you for coming to your capital and testifying. You know, and all along, all the while you're doing this process, for those who need this, you're under a cloud of threat from the federal government currently. Even though you have a recommendation card, so you can legally possess it in the state of Oregon, but the setting up of your process and the going out and getting the clones or plants is all under a cloud of federal threat currently. Am I correct on that?
And there's a lot of fear, a lot of fear, and a lot of misunderstanding.
Right.
You know, a lot of people think that everybody is in their houses smoking their bongs and their joints, and that's not true. Most people are using tinctures and oils and medibles, and a lot of people use vaporizers, and, you know, smoking is the quickest way to get your medicine and the easiest way to titrate it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the only way, and
right.
It's not the best way for everybody. So,
well, the bill on setting up a statewide process has definitely, we've got a great education on how it really works today, and you're exactly right. It's going to be incredible. It's just that this is all just the beginning of this. Even if the federal government came down today, in light of what we learned today, I'm not convinced we could move forward on that this session. We're going to have a long, long process and discussion about not only how the state sets this up and what our responsibilities are and how we're going to pay for it, but what kind of, if we have flexibility, what kind of flexibility, and who gets to and who doesn't, and how's that monitored, how's that regulated, or is it monitored or regulated? There's a lot of conversation to be had. So any questions of Ms. Murray today? All right, I really appreciate you coming down.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to testify today? If not, I'm going to close the hearings.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Before we adjourn, I do need to enter two items into the record.
All right.
This morning was handed out a letter of support for House Bill 2497 from the City of Eugene, and then there's also a letter of support for House Bills 2497 and 3052 from NFIB Oregon.
Right. NFIB would be the National Federation of Independent Businesses. So, seeing any comments from the committee, I appreciate you guys hanging in there for me, and these were good people. And with that, I'm going to close the public hearings on these bills. And if there's nothing for the good of the order, we will stand adjourned. Thanks again, folks.